School District U46 board member piles on Representative Ives in dishonest Facebook post. Tracy O'Neill Ellis, the arrogant school board member in Illinois School District U46, which was embroiled in a controversy last spring over the superintendent's secret decision to sexually integrate restrooms and locker rooms, has joined the fracas over the Chicago Tribune's biased reporting about State Representative Jeannie Ives. This is the twisted comment Ellis has offered on her school board member Facebook page, accompanied by a link to the dishonest Trib article. And I quote Ellis, "The proposition by a legislator that there should be different tiers of students entitled to safe learning spaces, and that the teachers who labor to provide them are anything less than stellar for affirming the humanity of students is deplorable, but considering the source, not unexpected." End quote. Wow. It is utterly dishonest to state that Representative Ives proposed, quote, that there should be different tiers of students entitled to safe learning spaces and that teachers who labor to provide them are less than stellar, end quote again. That's not merely a mischaracterization, it's a vicious lie. Considering it came from the woman who called the Republican National Convention the Klanvention, it's not unexpected. As I needed to do yesterday, I'll try to bring some clarity, oh, and some honesty, to this discussion. To my knowledge, Representative Ives has never proposed or suggested that there should be different tiers of students entitled to safe learning spaces. If Representative Ives did propose this, Ellis has an ethical obligation to provide conclusive, indisputable evidence for this pernicious claim. Because of the peculiar and awkward grammatical structure of Ellis's statement, I'm not entirely sure what she's saying, but I assume she's referring to Representative Ives' belief and the belief of many millions of people around the country, including many feminists, that restrooms and locker rooms should correspond to objective immutable biological sex. If I'm correct, Ellis's paraphrase is indefensible. As I wrote yesterday, the Trib article was not really about Ives. It was about my politically incorrect objection to teachers in public schools promulgating the trans ideology and leftist assumptions about homosexuality, as well as my politically incorrect objection to teachers exposing other people's children to obscene material. I said that teachers who expose other people's children to egregiously obscene material are metaphorically equivalent to dirty old men lurking in alleyways to expose children to sordid things, except progressive teachers have no shame. And I didn't propose that there should be different tiers of students entitled to safe learning spaces. First, since when did places where students tend to bodily functions, change their clothes, or shower become learning spaces? Of course, now they are learning spaces because leftist bullies employed by Big Brother at the public expense are using them to teach students that if they don't want to change, shower, or go to the bathroom in close proximity to opposite sex peers, they are ignorant, hateful, bigoted bullies. Second, what I have suggested is that schools make accommodations for those students who don't want to share private spaces with students of their same sex, which Ellis evidently views as a different tier. Ironically, progressives propose special accommodations for those students who don't want to share private spaces with persons of the opposite sex. Wouldn't that constitute a different tier in Ellis's ideological world? The Trib article, which was as dishonest as Ellis's comment, failed to provide any context for my comments. It wasn't solely about gender dysphoric students. As I mentioned, it was also about the lack of integrity of teachers who expose other people's children to obscene material. Those teachers are not stellar teachers. Teachers who participate in the fiction that humans are assigned a gender at birth when in reality, you know, that place that comports with science, the objective sex of babies is identified at birth, are not stellar teachers. Teachers who comply with mandates to refer to gender dysphoric students by opposite sex pronouns are not stellar teachers. They're ignorant or cowardly teachers. Teachers who implicitly or explicitly teach students that if they don't want to share private spaces with opposite sex students, they're ignorant, bigoted, and hateful are not stellar. They're feckless and cruel. Teachers who implicitly or explicitly teach students that objective immutable biological sex has no meaning relative to modesty or privacy are not stellar teachers. They're fools. Ellis makes the astounding claim that sex-segregated restrooms and locker rooms deny the humanity of gender dysphoric students. Really? Does affirming the humanity of students or any other human really require denying the reality and meaning of their objective immutable biological sex? Does affirming the humanity of students require affirmation of all their subjective internal feelings and the actions impelled by those feelings? If not, which ones must be affirmed and who decides? What if affirmation of their subjective internal feelings entails actions that deny the beliefs and feelings of other students? Many people believe that affirming the humanity of students requires affirming that which is true, and that affirming falsehoods undermines human flourishing and reveals a deeply misguided understanding of compassion. Megan Larson, commenting on Ellis's school board Facebook page, wrote something equally dishonest, nonsensical, and melodramatic. She wrote, and I quote, "Schools are a place where children need to be respected and protected. Just because a student, or more likely their parents, don't agree with how others choose to live their lives, doesn't negate someone's right to exist and access a high-quality education. Respect applies to all. Each student in U46 is afforded their right to live in accordance with their beliefs and live their own truth. No teacher or parent is forcing another student to partake in anything they don't believe. But they darn sure better enforce a student's right to exist and access their education without bullying, bigotry, or hate speech. It is not obscene to allow children to be who they are. It is obscene to persecute them and try to erase them." End quote. Wow, again. Respect for children does not require affirmation, accommodation, or celebration of everything they feel, desire, believe, or do. Nor do progressives think it does. They certainly don't respect everything conservative students feel, believe, or do. They don't respect the feelings and beliefs of conservative students who think restrooms and locker rooms should continue to correspond to objective immutable biological sex as opposed to subjective internal feelings about one's sex. Nor do progressives believe that their refusal to maintain sex-segregated private spaces constitutes a denial of these conservative students' right to exist or an obscene effort to persecute and erase them. If anything is obscene, it is claiming that those who believe biological sex is meaningful, particularly as it relates to modesty and privacy, seek to deny others the right to exist, or that they persecute or bully others. Ellis's and Larson's statements are the kind of incoherent, irrational, inconsistently applied demagoguery that infects government schools at all levels, making dialogue impossible and providing evidence for my claim that Christians must exit government schools.